Here we go for day two of the work from home version of the Lori and Julia show. Yesterday wasn't so bad once we got Lori's laptop cord secured and plugged in. Let's see what Wednesday has to offer. How are you ladies doing?
We're good. Lori, you know, I am doing pretty good. I mean, I'm in soft pants.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
I've got my hard jeans on.
Why bother?
Because.
I know.
Because. You know what? It's funny. I put on loafers. I bought a brand new pair of patent loafers this spring. And we were talking about loafers yesterday on the show, high heel loafers.
Yes.
So I'm wearing those too. I just felt like dressing up.
Well, how come you don't dress up when we're in the studio?
Because I don't have enough time. It's all that commute time I have.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Holly and Mike and Amy and Rocco and everyone for getting us set up. We are.
Oh, I know it. I had panic at the disco. I thought I better just take a look at this little computer. And then it said, this is going to reboot like in an hour. And then I was like, oh, God, do I press reboot? You know me, I'm just hopeless. And I just thought, well, I'm going to just press it. And then Mike called me and he goes, we're going to download something and I'm going to walk you through all the steps. And I didn't break out in a rash, but I felt my neck get real hot.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we are so much better. But yesterday it was so funny, Lori, honest to Pete. My mom wants me to FaceTime her right now and I'm trying to figure out how to do that too. But I've got too many things going on, I decided.
So oh, yes. I know. Well, Holly was nice enough to drop off my headset so I don't have to use my cheapy Delta earbuds that don't stay in my ears.
Well, that was, gosh.
So I feel professional.
Yeah, I got us something special for Holly, so we've got a little treat for her that I think only Holly would like. So thanking her for all the extra stuff and you, Rocco, that you guys have done for us. We don't have our test results yet, so we went and tested at like 1 o'clock on Monday at the airport. And we thought they'd be 24 hours. What day is it today? Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And then I got something last night that they have the test and it'll be 72 to 48 hours, 48 to 72. So I'm just like, oh my gosh. Oh, anywho.
Well, Walls just announced the gyms are closing Friday.
For how long is everything?
For 4 weeks, and bars and restaurants will have takeout only, and hopefully they let the beer halls sell their growlers and stuff. But
sure.
You know, I did ask on last weekend at my club. I said, "How come you guys just don't make everyone
wear a mask
when they work out so that they can't trace? You know, there isn't anything happening." And she said, "Oh, it has to be a whole, you know, decision from corporate for all the clubs." And I said, well, these are going to close down because nobody's wearing masks and there's got to be spread because people are huffing and puffing. And
right.
Anyway, there you go.
All right. Well,
so that's 4 weeks and hopefully that's going to be enough to, you know, stop it. But of course, you know, terrible for businesses and stuff. But this thing is everywhere. Yep. It's like 1 in 6 people have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of big. So I guess there's going to be more news at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
But I already let our bowling captain know that we should, if they're going to close the bowling alleys, just add a month on at the end in the spring.
Sure.
We'll make it up.
Mm-hmm. Rocco, how are things going there?
Seems fine today. I was kind of buried in my studio getting stuff done. But yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of, you know, we're all staying away from each other. I was going to have friends come over on the patio tonight to watch the NBA draft. And I think three of the guys were like, you know what? I wouldn't let my kids do it. I should set a good example. Right. They're saying you shouldn't hang out with more than, you know, 3 families and all this stuff, even if it's outdoors. So,
right. Yeah. I'm in my car tonight going through the glow drive-through lights at the state fair.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, at 7:30. So I'm in my car.
Right.
But I just want to say that I will not go outside. but I'll let you guys know how that goes tomorrow. So it kind of kicks off tonight because we've seen a lot of these different ways that people are trying to celebrate. And one of them is this drive-through light extravaganza at the Minnesota State Fair.
It'll be beautiful.
Yeah, I think it will be. It's something different. And then I know that Valley Fair is doing a drive-through light thing. And I think also like Dresser, Wisconsin, Somerset, Wisconsin.
I think Seavers is.
Seavers Corn Maze, yeah. Probably. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, I'm very much looking forward to it. And I will have the report tomorrow.
I'm going a week from tonight for Prince Night.
Oh, at the fair?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
The Glow, yeah. I didn't even know Prince Night was a thing, but there it is.
Was it random that you just bought tickets?
Pretty much. I was like, yeah, let's shoot for Wednesday night. And then sure enough, it's Prince Night. So we'll see what that means. But
okay, well, that is serendipity.
It really is, because I'm a big Prince fan, as Lori knows. We've been to Paisley a few times together.
I could go, but I'm under quarantine.
Well, so am I, but it's called in your car, honey. You don't leave your car.
Yeah.
That's the part you miss. Well, you stay there with your computer and your plugs.
Honestly, I did go for a walk with Casey, and I'm like, I haven't walked with him since July, you know, when the gyms opened back up, and everything is the same as it was, except now there's, you know, different weather conditions, and alleys are not conducive to walking. They're too icy.
Oh, they are. It was pretty out today. I went on a long walk myself. Yeah, it's pretty. It's kind of, we're getting a spring break here. I mean, like,
is that
break.
What you're calling it?
That's what I'm feeling like we're on, a little spring break. I hope I get to go to work tomorrow, because they're going to start working on my roof, and it's going to be very loud.
Okay, well, Rocco, it's got to be very quiet without Julie and I playing our music in the double wide.
Yeah, it is like silent because, you know, Bradley's not here. So I guess, you know, and Steve's not here. So during the, you know, it's just Dawn and Donna and then Holly and Colleen. And then now it's probably super silent out there. Not even our boss, B. Arthur's here. She's finally taking vacation.
Well, she already sent me an email today, so she hasn't had the whole day off.
And yesterday, my gosh, we caused her several panic attacks. I bet her hair got a little grayer yesterday.
You think so? We need to give a shout out to Linda and the team at Crutchfield Dermatology and Medi Spa. They heard about your technological delight yesterday, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so sad that they missed it. And I said, well, tune in today. You don't know what's going to happen with Lori. We'll find out. But you got your headset. That's nice that Holly delivered it to you.
Are you still having volume problems, though, Lori? Are you?
I don't know if my ears are plugged or what, but I sure wish I could just hear a little bit better.
There's a volume switch on your computer.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to get into it right now. It's embarrassing at this point. I will send you a photo.
How would you know there's a volume switch on your computer? I don't see anything that says volume.
Who is she?
Who is this
woman we work with?
Oh, wait. I see something.
Oh.
Okay. There is a volume button.
Oh my gosh.
You're talking louder though. You're talking louder.
No, okay. I don't know. We'll deal with this later. But yeah,
I'm glad. There is a volume button on her computer.
I realize that, Julia. And there's a microphone button, and there's all kinds of things that I
There's letters. There's a space bar. It's so exciting, these computers.
I was all worried I was going to have to plug in the mouse today, and I was just like, oy vey, I don't want to do that. One more cord. Hard.
This is going to be so good for you. You're going to come back, you know, next week and just give us computer lessons.
No, Rocco. I can assure you that's not going to happen.
Me too.
I'll make a bet with you, in fact.
Oh, gosh.
I'm ready for some easy money. All right, listen, let's take a break so we can get to our story we can't get enough of.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Story we can't get enough of coming up in a couple seconds. I just wanted to tell everybody that in about an hour and 3 minutes, we're going to announce a name. And if that name is you, you call in, you'll win $100 and you'll be eligible to win $10,000. It's a little thing we're calling Live for Free because we want to pay you back for all the good you've done us this year. And someday we're going to have to pay Lori and Julia back for all the good they've done by quarantining, staying home safe, and doing their show.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Okay,
you're
fine.
So funny.
I was
you're
looking
so
for
funny.
A segue that's, there, but
that's trying, taking a little far. But people, everybody, if you haven't registered yet to win the $10,000, you can do it at the mytalk1071.com and our website, or you can also do it on the app. And you do need to re-register if you've registered for promotions in the back, because this is a new one. You don't want to miss out on that. I think it's cool. We had one winner for two on our show yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're three for four for the so far this week. We'll see how we do today.
That's good. Okay, so last night Jimmy Kimmel revealed the People's Sexiest Man Alive. We'll let Lara at GMA give us the news.
People's Sexiest Man, Michael B. Jordan. Yes, okay, Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, I got it.
Michael B. Jordan, who says of the honor his mom will be excited for him, but he fully expects his friends to give him some good-natured heat for the honor. Inside the Issue, Michael opens up about marriage, kids, and wanting to leave behind an impactful legacy. But the true honor might have come from Jimmy Kimmel, who pointed out something very interesting to Michael B. Jordan after making the big announcement on his show last night. Take a look.
But I think even maybe more rewarding for you is, look, Michael Jordan is a tiny little sexy person, and you're the big sexy person.
I'll take that victory. I'm not going to have too many of those over MJ, so I'm going to take that one.
Maybe he will start having to use his middle initial.
That's so funny. Michael Jordan making an appearance in the magazine along with many other men. For more on all of this year's honorees, go to people.com for some behind-the-scenes video. And you can pick up a copy of People's Sexiest Man Alive Issue on newsstands this Friday.
I have a prediction. This is going to be one of the most popular People magazine Sexiest Man Alive issues. It's going to fly off. They're going to sell a lot of newsstand copies.
I would agree with you on that one. I think it, so it was funny, Rocco, if you didn't see it, and everybody else, he comes out in this like moon suit, and they had all these viewers virtually ask him questions about who he was. Lori, did you know?
Yes.
You knew right away?
I do because of his voice, I guess.
Well, they had a voice changing thing, so he sounded like a robot.
Oh, well, it must have been a question. I don't know, but I kind of...
You kind of knew?
I don't know. I felt... I don't know if I just...
Maybe you just had a gut feeling. But he was 7 years ago, he was predicted in People magazine's The One to Watch to be the sexiest man alive someday. But when he came out, when he got out of his space suit, and he came out, all right, he was in a, like, a gentle brown... I'm going to call it like a spring bear brown, high-waisted pleated pants with a red piping down the side, and then a gentle spring brown turtleneck with a zipper in the back.
He had great fashion.
It was so unexpected and fabulous at the same time, because that's a hard combo to pull off. I just thought, wow, he looks gorgeous. I love a man in a turtleneck.
Yes, I know you do.
That is my thing. Turtlenecks on man and V-neck sweater. I'm preppy.
Don't add a pea coat.
I'd be lost.
Right.
And maybe a little Irish sweater. You know, I'm so predictable. Anyway.
Okay, Michael B. Jordan is 33, and we first met him on All My Children. Where he replaced Chadwick Boseman, and then they starred years later in Black Panther.
Right.
And then we fell in love with him on Friday Night Lights. He was on Parenthood. His kind of breakout acting in the movies was Fruitvale Station, based on a true story, and then Creed. And then he was in Just Mercy, which is an amazing movie, playing the real-life lawyer Bryan Stevenson, and, of course, Black Panther. And he's an Aquarius, in case you were wondering. And I'm just remembering when Blake Shelton and Adam Levine were Sexiest Man Alive.
You hated it. You were so bad.
Oh, I was so mad. But, I mean, Michael B. Jordan hits older women like younger women. I mean, gay guys. I mean, he just hits all the marks. He's such a good choice. And I just love him. And his next movie that he's doing, he is going to star in Tom Clancy's, based on the book called Without Remorse.
Oh, okay.
Is his next, His company, his production company is doing the movie, and he was the first one to adopt an inclusion writer on any movies he makes, which mandates that there will be a diverse cast and crew and blah, blah, blah. But I just, he said his family, his sister and his mom and his aunties are just going to go crazy about this.
Well, here's, so he's just so, you know who he is, right, Rocco?
Yeah, I kind of, I had forgot that he was in The Wire, but
I'm crying out loud. Everyone was in The Wire.
I know. You should watch it. Someday. I think I first heard about him, like, when the Creed thing kind of blew up, right? That was my radar.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He was so good.
You know what they say about Aquarius, having that sign, let me be free. They're a hard sign to pin down.
Yeah, they're the bachelor and bachelorettes of the astrological universe.
Yes, my father was an Aquarius, the bachelor and bachelorette.
They are. They do not want to be pinned down.
They don't. That sign is, I'm not going to commit. You know,
let me be free.
Let me keep my options open. I got to see what's going on there. But he said he was driving around town when the phone call came in that he won the Sexiest Man. And Jimmy Kimmel's like, well, were you excited? And he goes, my publicist called me with my manager and they were on speaker. And they said, who's in the car with you? And it was one of his buddies. And he said, okay, well, we can tell you then because we trust whoever it is. Because he said, I had to keep this so top secret.
When did they let him know? What did he say? Was it like back in July?
I don't know how long ago it was. They didn't say a date, but he just said, I was so excited. And Jimmy said, were you excited? And he goes, yeah, it's an honor. And then Jimmy Kimmel was the sexiest 53-year-old. So in People magazine this week, they do it by age. And then the new sexiest baby is Anderson Cooper's baby boy, Wyatt.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And he's taking over for Andy Cohen's baby boy from last year. A little nepotism, it feels like, but you know,
it does feel like it. Does. But, Rocco, if you haven't seen Just Mercy, it's an incredible movie. Jamie Foxx is in it. It's a true story. Really, really good.
Okay, I will put that one down.
I have not seen that yet either.
Oh my gosh!
Well, Lori, I have time. I don't have time.
Well, I know, but I think that was the last movie I saw in a movie theater.
Yeah. Probably.
In
when
February.
We come back, we've got an international best-selling author joining us, Susan T. Phillips, to tell us all about what we should be reading, what's going on. We'll catch up with her. I'm your listening, Lori and Julia. This is My Talk 107.1. Thanks, Rocco. We are delighted. We have Susan Elizabeth Phillips with us. And Susan, we met through her sister that lives in the Twin Cities. Hi, Susan.
Hey, I've got makeup on. Do you guys?
Yeah, I do. Lori doesn't. But Susan Elizabeth Phillips is an international best-selling author. Susan, how many books have you written?
Oh, so you're going to start with the hardball questions, huh?
Let's get them out of the way.
I think I'm on 23 or 24, something like that.
Wow.
And we last talked to you about your great book, Dance Away With Me, which we just loved.
I'm so glad. It's going to be coming out in paperback at the end of January. But, you know, I've been busy because I've already got the next one finished, and I'm usually not that fast.
Well, what else has there been to do?
You know, isn't that the truth? You know, as difficult as the pandemic has been, it's kind of a good thing for writers because I'm way ahead of what I normally would be at this point.
Oh, I believe you. You know, I was reading your bio, Susan, and how you got started writing your first book. Will you tell everybody that story? Because that's pretty good.
Oh, it was so crazy. So this was in like 1978, 1979, so it's been a while. We were living in New Jersey then, and I had young kids, and my best friend two doors down the street had young kids. And we were reading the early historical romances that were coming out at that time. Both of us are feminists, but we really were drawn to these books. Which at the time were regarded as being anti-feminist, and actually it's the opposite, but that's sort of a tangential story. Anyway, we started just doing this as really a fun thing, and ended up sending it off to an editor when we only had like 127 pages written. And she called us up 3 weeks later. She said, we've read your book, we like it, and we're prepared to make you an offer. That was it.
Isn't that amazing?
It was so much fun, but you know what? They paid us. We had a $3,500 advance for that book, and we had to split it down the middle, and it took us 2 years to write.
And did you guys, did you only do one book together then and then kind of branch off?
We did one book together. She moved after that, and she went to law school, and then I had to go ahead and figure out how to write a book alone. It was a lot more fun writing with somebody else. But, yeah, I've been writing by myself ever since. And it's been an interesting career. I just sort of never expected it. My whole goal in life was to be a movie star, but that did not work out.
Oh, damn. Listen, this is better. You don't have to wear makeup every day like that. But so we're with New York Times bestselling author Susan Elizabeth Phillips, because life is better with happily ever afters. And your books, I'm telling you, after we read your one, Dance With Me, I think I bought like two more and just read them right away. These are great feel-good books. You kind of are known as the queen of romantic comedy. What is it about your books, you think about the romance part in a book, that you always kind of need in your characters to make them work?
Well, I think my books kind of straddle that line between romance and women's fiction. But I want books that have a satisfying, happy ending. And I also like to put a little epilogue at the end so we can kind of see where those characters are going. And it just, it's the world I want to live in. I love writing these characters who are flawed characters. My heroes are sometimes over-the-top macho, but they always have this sort of emotional thing going on. And the heroines usually are kind of at a point in their life, they're usually at a crisis point. So it generally in my books, the hero is bigger, stronger, more successful, and richer than the heroine. She's sort of at the end of her rope. She usually doesn't have a lot of money. And I love that story of a woman going up against a powerful man and watching. You need to see my hand gestures right now. I'm gesturing. Watching this power dynamic sort of shift between them. Mm-hmm. I think that so many women, we love that idea of life is a journey. And I think with these books, you've got a journey of a woman sort of finding her own power and right. of this man learning how to be a better man, really. So
and be
it's,
vulnerable.
It's a story. I never get tired of telling this story.
I'm telling you. Okay, so tell us. So you've got a book coming out next June, right?
In June. That's one of my Chicago's. Yeah, that one's called When Stars Collide, and it's another of my Chicago Stars books. I write the Chicago Stars football series, and the, by the way, your Vikings just absolutely took apart our Bears, but, you know,
yes,
that does happen.
Finally.
So I write, you know, sort of standalone books, and I write series Chicago Stars football books. I claim the title of the creator of the sports romance because it didn't exist when I started writing, but gosh, so many people are writing it now.
You're right about that, but I love that. The creator
of the
sports
romance. I think it's really fun. Yeah.
Because so many authors we talk to, you know, we ask them, have your books been optioned? Are they going to do something out of your books and stuff? I can't remember if one of your books has been made into a movie or if it's something that you want to pursue, or do you care?
Oh, I'm glad because I got good gossip for you.
Oh, good.
All right. So I've had books optioned on and off and on and off, and it's just a mess. I don't enjoy the process, and I'm finding out there's just a lot of kickback because readers want to see the book that they read on the screen. And, you know, film and literature, they're two different media, and it doesn't work out that way. So I have such mixed feelings about it. What is going to be fascinating is watching what happens with Julia Quinn's Bridgerton series. Are you following the drama on this?
Yes. Yes, this is with Shania Twain, right?
That no, she's no,
Shonda
music?
Rhimes.
Oh, Shonda Rhimes.
Shonda
okay,
Rhimes.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Are you right?
Yeah, and the way it happened was we have the same agent, so I know the inside story on this.
Okay, tell us.
Shonda was just a fan of Julie's books, and she looked at the, as I understand it, she looked at the Bridgerton series. She saw there were a lot of books and a lot of characters, and she felt like, which is what we've been talking about for a long time, that this was a market that had been neglected. Yes, you have the Hallmark Christmas movies, but maybe to do something more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
So she optioned that. And I think that the first Bridgertons, I want to say Thanksgiving Day, I could be wrong about that. But Shonda has gone on record as saying that she just thinks this is going to be huge and it's going to change television, which we're hoping for because that's going to open up the market for a lot of romances that have been sort of overlooked. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
We watched the trailer when that came out a couple weeks ago, and it was Jane Austen meets Gossip Girl. It just, I thought, they must be so bummed at ABC that they let Shonda Rhimes go over a couple Disney passes and she did her deal with Netflix, because I think it's going to be a huge
hit. Crazy? That was just that was just so silly on their part. But I think the casting looks interesting. She always does diversity in her casting. Mm-hmm. And also, if you look at the women, they're different body types there.
Yes.
It's not going to be, I just think it's going to be real interesting. And that's not all the gossip I've got for you.
All right, give us some more.
Kristen Hannah, you know, she's a huge writer. Nightingale, everybody has read that. Her new book is called The Four Winds. It's coming out in February. I have read it. It's an incredible book.
We're going to get around for that, yes.
I can't wait to read it. Kristen's been a friend of mine for years and years and years and years. Matter of fact, she started out, I was pretty successful when she started out, and since then she has just left tracks in my back, that girl has. I mean, she has risen to the top pinnacle. But, so when they were shooting Firefly Lane, she was there at the went to the table reading, and she got to, you know, she met the cast and everything. And she was so happy about the fact that both Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalke, who are doing the leads in that, had actually read the book. They were readers and they were fans.
Oh.
So that's going to be interesting how that works. In the meantime, I'm not done yet. I got more stuff.
Okay, keep going. We're with Susan Elizabeth Phillips, New York Times best-selling author who writes great books you should buy, and people are like, go, give us your next one. We've got like a few minutes left. Tell us.
Okay, this is the only other gossip is, this is also with Kristen Hannah. So they were all ready to shoot The Nightingale. I think they were shooting it in Budapest, and with the Fanning sisters doing the two sisters in that book, which I think is brilliant casting. Then COVID hit. The whole thing shut down. And if Kristen knows what they're doing now, she's not telling me because I think she's afraid I'll blab it. But I'm so anxious to see what happens with this.
That's going to be a fabulous movie.
That is such a good book. She's such a good writer.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. And now, are any of your other friends have books coming out or you just read that we should be buying?
I'm glad you asked. It's going to be 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock Central Time on my Facebook page, Susan Elizabeth Phillips. I'm doing a Facebook Live with Jane Ann Krentz, who also writes as Amanda Quick, and Christina Dodd. And this is going to be a fun event because they're girlfriends. So it's going to be both a girlfriend chat and a book chat. And, you know, as you can figure out, I don't have much filter. So it's going to be really fun listening to them.
Is this today? On
my Facebook page today. Yep. As soon as I get off the phone with you.
Oh, for crying out loud. I wish.
Yeah.
Can we watch these in replays or something?
Yes, you sure can. Yeah, because I'll leave it up on my page. And then we put them on. I've got a YouTube channel. We put them on there, too. I've been talking to a lot of interesting authors lately. So it's really been fun.
Oh, good. Well, honey, it's so nice to hear from you. Now, say hi to your sister. Is she listening?
Hey, Lynn. Hi. I miss you.
And if you haven't signed up for our chance to win $10,000, Lynn, sign up for it. My gosh, we're giving away $10,000 right now to just make someone have a better year within the next 2 weeks.
That's great. That's, good for you.
Yeah, I think it is. And I just want people to know, Susan Elizabeth Phillips, your books have great, you feel good at the end. Lori, who I'm a kind of, this is my genre my whole life. Lori dabbles in it. And we absolutely loved your last book, Dance Away With Me. And that Lori has read some other ones too. But I love your books.
Oh, thanks so much. I love talking
to the two of you, Susan. Thank you for being on our show. And we will be watching for you. And again, Facebook Live, Susan Elizabeth Phillips, and your YouTube channel. I'm going to check those out. Thanks for the update and take care.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, when we come back, Lori, what are we going to talk about? I love her.
How nice is she? About TV, Big Sky premiered last night after The Bachelorette.
Oh, yes, it did. Wow. Is that what we're doing? Are we the Lori and Julia show? Can you hear us better?
I think it sounds a little bit better, yeah.
Does it sound better, Lori?
I had you guys turn it up a little bit.
Oh, I can hear you better, Lori.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Good as hell. All right, let's talk about Big Sky, which premiered on ABC last night. It is based on a book series by C.J. Box and mystery writer. Casey knew who it was. He goes, oh, yeah, that author's a woman. She uses initials. You know how he feels about women writers? He always wants gritty books by men. He's so sexist with the authors.
Yes,
but
he
did know who, you know, this author was. So it's a David E. Kelly show, and right away I was hooked. First of all, when a show spends money on real artists, you know, the girls singing Good as Hell, Johnny Cash singing Folsom Prison Blues, these boots were made for walking. They're spending some money, and I mean, it's setting up, but my jaw was on the floor at the ending.
As everyone was. I got a text from Shannon. She's like, OMG, you sent me one, and I was just getting ready to send you one, and we're all the same thing, OMG, and that's all we can say, OMG.
We don't want to give anything away. But
nothing, OMG.
ABC, they did have pretty decent ratings, and people were just like, damn. And then I don't know if you realize the guy who plays the Montana State Patrol, John Carroll Lynch, I think his name is. He was Marge's husband in Fargo. He's been in American Horror Story, lots of things. But his wife, did you notice who his wife was played by?
Yes, who is that, though, Lori?
She is the gal that Wild Bill kidnaps in Silence of the Lambs and throws in the well and says, put the lotion in the basket. That girl.
But she's been in other things besides.
No, I know, but that's always, she looks the same.
Yes, she does.
And you always go, that's the girl from Silence of the Lambs. And her mom was a huge Hollywood publicist for many years. But yeah, she shows up in other parts. But whenever I see her, I just think, put the lotion in the basket.
I really blanked out that movie. And so I couldn't watch it. It was too painful. But it's a good show. And if you didn't get a chance to watch it, I have to figure out how to do it, but my mom missed it. And I'm like, you can watch it on demand on ABC. So,
Casey watched 5 minutes and he said, this is a soap opera. I'm not watching this show.
Oh.
And I feel like it's not Rocco's show either.
Okay, good. Because I played an iPad board game with my buddies last night instead. So
yeah,
sorry.
Rocco, this isn't, we're not going to try and be a TV watcher.
I know. We should, someday we'll have a show we all watch together. We'll find one.
But if you remember, you know, David E. Kelly, who has created the show out of these novels, if you remember, if you go way back, if you're old enough, you remember, because he created L.A. Law, and he did a storyline involving Holland Taylor and an elevator.
Oh.
Do you remember that? When she walks, the elevator opens and she walks.
Oh, yeah.
So, and Ally McBeal, The Practice, he also created Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton, which is a great show. Yes. If people haven't watched that. And, of course, he did Big Little Lies and The Undoing. And but anyway, I'm totally as hooked on Big Sky as I was last week when I watched The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
And tonight that's on.
Yeah.
No, I know. We've got some stuff. We've got some good stuff going
on. And how about The Bachelorette?
Okay, watch that too.
Did you like it?
I love her. Okay. Are we going to talk about that? Because I just have to say some things. Because when you are stuck in one destination to do a Bachelor or Bachelorette, the games get very desperate. And when they had the grown-ass man game that they played, I thought this is so beyond. And then when the guy, okay, Lori, in high school, if your kids take health class, they have to take home a baby.
Yeah.
It's like an elective. You take health or you take, I don't know, something else. So both my kids brought home a baby. And you have to, for 24 hours, it's kind of monitored how much the baby cries and stuff. You have to take care of the baby. So one of the challenges last night with one of the guys who I think I can barely stand him, was he had to hold the baby. So he's holding it during this whole challenge, and then he kept holding it. And I'm like, and then he tattletailed on a guy, and I thought, this...
Julia, right now...
Junior high!
Yeah, right now, Tayshia's dealing with a lot of Brads and Chads.
But she's loving it. I like her. I think she is just great.
Claire is nothing but a distant, bad TV dream.
Okay, now I heard on Jason's show yesterday that there's more trouble in paradise or more kind of rumblings that maybe that love connection isn't so connection.
Julia, I told you this 2 weeks ago.
Do we still? So it's just, wow.
They're going to try and pretend like it's going on for whatever ratings thing, you know, whatever thing they're going to do. They want to wait, but no, these two.
I feel bad for her.
Why? She needs therapy before she can find somebody.
I know. She really does, Rocco. She is a desperate person. She was so desperate.
So desperate.
All right. But I still Matthew think The Bachelor was fun.
Yeah, it was very fun. I enjoyed it. And Matthew Perry let us know that the Friends reunion will be filmed in March for HBO Max in case you've been losing sleep over when that was going to happen.
Well, I'm very relieved to know. They needed something to talk about.
Is it like an episode, like with a plot and everything, or just
they were going to do like just a reunion. I don't know that was going to be a show initially, but maybe since they've had so much more time to think about it.
No, they're just going to they're going to sit around, I think, and talk about it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, I guess, in the age of COVID, right?
COVID.
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
And then, Julia, we're getting a weekly variety show when Conan ends his 28-year late-night show, and he signed up with HBO Max to do a weekly variety series.
I didn't know it was a variety series.
It's going to be a weekly variety show, which I think is great.
I kind of love that. Well, coming up next hour, we're going to give away someone a chance to win $100 and then $10,000. So stay with us. This is Lori and Julia and MyTalk 107.1. We'll be right back.